Our next speaker is Guy Cousins. He is the director of Medical Health Professionals Program here in Maine, and is going to talk to us about the confidential services that he can offer health. They offer healthcare professionals who are dealing with behavioral health disorders that could impact their work.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank initially Dee for having me here, be able to talk about the Medical Professionals Health Program. As Gordon mentioned, I'm relatively new. I still have the price tag on the back of me. I'm about 2 months in, but I've been working in the field of behavioral health services for about 35 years. I started when I was 12. And just have been doing a lot of things with a lot of people for a long time. I'm so excited to hear you talk about motivational interviewing. I learned about motivational interviewing when I left the country. I had to leave the country to learn about it, and that was back in 1989. I had the fortunate experience of studying graduate school in Scotland, and that's how I ended up finding out about William R. Miller, Stephen Rolnick. Actually met Stephen Rolnick, and transformative. And here's the other thing about motivational interviewing, which is a little bit more of a carrot. It's going to benefit you in your private life as much as it is in your professional life. It helps you frame having conversations, having relationships, because all of what we do, physical health, behavioral health, it's all about relationships. And it's all about that alliance that you create with that person sitting across from you. So I'm very excited about being here to talk about Medical Professionals Health Program as much as one could learn in less than 15 minutes. So I'm going to give you some information about what it is that we do, really how we operate, the kind of the staff that we have. But much like Deb, I had like 41 slides too, and I chopped a bunch off. Two slides that I took off, this is part of my probation, Gordon, I know that. Is that I took off our website and our phone number. So I'm going to tell you that right now. If you want to reach us, 623-9266, and you can push either one or two. One, you get the head honcho, and then two, you get me. Okay? Our website is Maine, spelled out, mphp.org. And recently been updated, and lots of great information there for you. So it sounds like people have a pretty good idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about substance use disorder. It's a chronic medical condition. You can argue, and a lot of people try to, that it's not a disease, that it's a moral failing. It's about people's willpower. We've got all the science in the world that shows that this is a chronic disease. It's a disease where your brain gets hijacked. And we need to be able to respond to it like we would any other sort of medical condition. There are very clear evidence-based practices that are effective. Like any other medical condition, a square peg does not fit in a round hole. And historically, our profession, and when I say our profession, behavioral health profession, substance use, mental health disorders, we try to fit square pegs in round holes. And we typically have poor outcomes as a result of it. Once we start understanding that we have to individualize what we do based on who the individual is and what they bring and all of their issues, we now understand more and embrace more that there are many roads to recovery. There are many different ways to engage people, and motivational interviewing has helped us with that. It has also helped us understand what self-efficacy is. How do we help and empower that individual to become the people who can make the choices to be healthy in their life? And there's a lot of different ways to do it. Engagement is where it all starts. And once you start learning about stages of readiness to change, and therapeutically, how can I engage people with their different stage of readiness, life changes significantly. There's all kinds of prevalence data out there. You can be inundated with it. What we're most concerned about now is you and how this impacts you. And we know that in terms of males have higher rates of use, we know that males use different types of substances more likely than females. We also know that prescription medication, all the data shows that it's off the charts. As it relates to you as an individual professional, helping professional, The range of prevalence is somewhere between 5 to 15%. 8% is probably a fairly close number to actually begin to understand the actual prevalence rate for physicians. Drugs of choice change over periods of time. Access to substances also increases risk factors. And that's one of the things that we really want to, once we start really kind of looking at this environment, we talk public health language, risk factors, protective factors, and all of the elements that are part of that. So how is it that this, you know, medical profession is at such a higher risk? How many dog owners here? Oh, I love this room. This is great. What happens to your dog when it hears a strange and unfamiliar sound? He barks, but most often, most of the dogs that I'm exposed to, and I've got grand dogs. That's my my status, and I've got about 10 of them. So when a strange sound happens, one of the first things that my dogs do is they cock their head sideways and they have this really curious kind of look at what is that? I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people over 35 years trying to get into the counseling profession, behavioral health helping profession. The third or fourth question I ask every one of those individuals is, how do you take care of yourself? And what do? It's a strange sound for a lot of them. They are absolutely clueless around how to really look at how to go about taking care of themselves. They're great, just like you. You're great at being able to help your patients. You'll go to various lengths to be able to do that. And you know all the different things that you get exposed to in terms of secondary vicarious traumatization. You hear all of the pains. You hear of all those stressors. And it's almost like Velcro. It gets to you, and it's like really hard. I'm from Aroostook County. We used to say burdocks, but a lot of people didn't know what that was. Velcro, same sort of thing. It's really hard to shed that. And with all of the changes in healthcare, EHRs, you know, the billable demands that are on you in terms of the volume care that you have to do, not always supporting positive outcomes, the stress level's high. And your days are so long, you're done, and what happens? You're dragging. You've no energy, right? And somebody says, well, you should take care of yourself. Yeah, when, how, you know, all of those kinds of interesting questions. But it's there's two analogies that oftentimes get used. The person who carries the bucket of water around, ladling water to all the people that are thirsty. What happens if you don't refresh the bucket? You don't put water back into it. You're eventually going to be empty. The other one is a bank account. Everybody can relate to that. You start withdrawing money with nothing getting deposited, you're going to be empty at some point. And the stressors in this work are so significant. I've talked to, 2 months I've been here, and I've talked to probably about 8 different groups already. I just spent time last Sunday with a group of veterinarians. It's a leadership, young leadership group of veterinarians called the Power of 10, and it was generated because the rate of suicide within veterinarians is very similar to dentists. It's really, really high for that profession. And that was one of the things that we were talking about compassion fatigue, about this vicarious traumatization, this secondary stress that is indigenous to what you do. And the reality is, you know, having self-care skills and building some resiliency has a way to be able to help that Velcro come off in a different way. So how does this have anything to do with MPHP? Well, periodically, as a way, we know that people end up using a lot of different things that they have access to and things that they may have been comfortable with, legal or not so legal, throughout their lifetime, and use substances to cope. Because when we think about it, substances play a function for people in their lives. I never asked anybody if they were an alcoholic or even if they intended to be one once they first started drinking or starting using a drug. I usually ask them, you know, how did it work for you? What did it do for you? And in so many times, it's about escape. It's about relief of pain. Trying to escape and get away from all of those stressors. And much like everyone in this room, we had lives before we became professionals. So we may have had some of those ACEs, those adverse childhood experiences happen to us or some other sort of traumatic events that are part of who we are and what we do. So using substances might be a way that on the short term works for people, but has long-term negative ramifications for people. And that translates into when people show up to practice, either under the influence or recovering from the effects of use that impact their practice. And it impacts public safety. And first and foremost, we do no harm. So MPHP is one of those entities that can actually help people when in fact they're being affected by their use trying to manage life. You can come as a volunteer, or you can come having someone requiring you to come. Volunteer process, you can refer yourself. Your employer can actually refer you as well without it being a mandated a referral. And I'll talk about that in a second. So colleagues, you name it. When it becomes the licensing board that gives us the mandate, then that's a different kind of conversation. It's still one that tends to be in facilitative and helpful and supportive and an advocate in what it is that they want to do. So here's one of the things that I want to really kind of stress is there's a perception. How many people have heard of MPHP before they walked in the room today? Yeah, so two things. That's one of the best kept secrets that we're going to work on taking care of. But there is a perception of some of the people, I'm not going to say some of the people in this room that raise your hand, but some people see us as maybe the heavy for the licensing board, which is why they're not going to call us. And I want to suggest to you that we are an advocate. We're an advocate for the profession. We're an advocate for the people you care for. But we're also significantly an advocate for the individual that's really challenged by this these issues. And at this point right now, State of Maine has done a great thing under Gordon's tutelage that the MPHP just doesn't deal with substances. It also deals with mental health issues as well, because oftentimes those are some of the presentations that are part of the clinical profile. So we're willing to work with a lot of different stressors that are going on for people. And we're one of probably a handful of states that actually do both mental health and substance abuse. We've also taken on some different professions as well. I don't think I have that slide because I only have 2 minutes left. But these slides are with you. Here's one of the things that is really important to understand, is that one of the things that we're trying to do, and although those people didn't raise their hand, we want to start becoming a resource for you. We want to be able to help. I mean, the ESPRT is an awesome model. We want to help long before people are needing treatment. We want to help intervene in an earlier place because we know the outcomes are higher. The efficacy is more successful when we're able to help people at an earlier stage. And it has less damage, not only to the individual and, their personal life, but also the damage professionally as well. And we can work in a very supportive and active way to be able to do that. But we do have to be known. We have to continue giving out information about this, continuing working with people. I've in 2 months, I've met with, like I said, 8 different groups. I spoke with first-year medical students yesterday. Last week, I spoke to third-year nursing students. I spoke to the veterinarians on Sunday. I've met with 2 licensing boards and representatives from all the licensing boards we work with. The other day. So we're trying to help people understand us in a different way, and that we're not the hammer. We're someone who's looking to advocate for you, the individual, you, your profession, as well as making sure that we're safeguarding the public. I want to keep us on time. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to let them fly right now. (laughs) 623-9266. My extension directly is 2. I say the boss. It's our operations manager, Heidi LaMonica. She's number 1. I pushed the wrong button. Sorry about that. Yeah. And the website is Maine, spelled out, mphp.org. And lots of good information there, lots of referral information. We are looking to become really the source to be able to connect people to the supports they need in order to, one, address their issues, and two, continuing practicing in the profession at a high level and really providing that key care. Thanks for your invitation again, Dee. I really appreciate it, and thanks. Thanks, Dee. Good to see you.